the Lord. The Lord bless each and every one this evening, and I know there's not many of us, but we must continue on with the things of God, and the Lord bless each one that's made an effort to come. And some people, there's a cold's going round, and you know, it's a terrible thing, because even with a cold going round, because of COVID, and if somebody's mentions they have a cold, everybody thinks it's COVID, but there's still the thing called the flu, and a thing called the common cold. You know, and some people can get it and they don't have actually COVID. And Brother Gary, I appreciate praying for Philip tonight. Philip's a cold, and we want to congratulate Lydia on the wee baby George was born. I'm not sure that the date, and I'm not going to say in case I get it wrong, but he's 9 pounds 7, a big baby. And he's called after his granda now, Ian George, and he's George, so they're happy. And the Lord bless him, and the Lord bless Colin as well. And we want to just pray for Lydia and Colin especially, that the Lord will strengthen them. Brother Joseph from Germany sends his greetings to everyone. He says it's terrible over there. He rang me actually the night. I couldn't talk to him long because I was coming out for the service. And he said it's... what do you call that state that used to be?
Nazis.
It's a Nazi state. He says Germany's becoming a Nazi state. This was his words. Because of the control that's now happening, COVID passports, and he's fearing he might lose his job now as well. And he was promoted in the job he's in. They came to him today or yesterday, and they told him he's no longer getting that promotion. He's back down to the bottom of the list as it was. And this is in Germany. He told me other things about New Zealand, but I don't want to say nothing because I don't know if it's right or not. But it's unreal if it is right, but it's right what's happening in Germany. People are losing their jobs, and we see here they've brought in rules now as well. For crowds of 10,000, you have to have the COVID passport. But, you know, I was saying this, and I'm not here to talk about COVID. I have no interest in talking about it, really. And I don't believe half the conspiracy theories either about it. But I do believe there's something behind it all. I believe that. But I'll say this here. Let's say there's 300 chairs in here tonight, and we have a man at the door, and he lets the 300 in because of a COVID passport. One of them 300, even though they're vaccinated, could still be carrying COVID. And one of them 300 could still pass COVID. So the passport has fixed nothing. It's let them all in. The man that's not vaccinated mightn't have COVID, but he's not allowed in. But the one way to do it is test a whole lot. Well, then you'll know who has it and who hasn't. But then the other side of that is the test's not accurate either. So that's the way the whole thing is. That's true. We know it's not 100% accurate. And you know, there's no such thing as an actual vaccination for COVID. That's false. What the vaccination does, it spikes your protein levels and it builds your immune system up, which is true enough, and that helps you fight it. That's what it does. And after so long, that drops down again. That's why the people need the booster after 6 months. I'm not a doctor, but that's just what I think about it. But I'll tell you one thing, it is a form of control. It's a form of control, it's a form of your liberties, been oppressed, and that's the bit I don't agree with. If somebody wants to get the vaccine, that's fair enough, that's down to every individual. I would never tell nobody not to get it, but they're not going to tell me to get it. That's the way I look at it. If somebody wants to get it, that's the free choice, and I have the free choice if I don't want it. But I don't agree with the rules they're making, and I don't know what's going to happen really. I think myself personally, this is just me, I think after a while they're going to realise that a lot of this hasn't worked, but it's going to be too late for a lot of people at that stage. That's my own opinion. I think they'll realise what they've done's wrong, but it'll be too late, and they're going to bring a lot of problems on people that should never have happened. And there is COVID, I believe there is COVID, but they say with young people that's healthy it's no worse than a common cold. The doctors themselves are saying that. Different for somebody that's maybe other underlying problems. And a flu could kill them anyway. A real bad flu could kill somebody with underlying problems. So, you know, that's the way it is. But pray for Joseph, and he's been listening in the services. He says he's enjoying the meetings. You wouldn't believe that people's listening in. I know I say that. And there's thousands in our church. I was couldn't believe how many's on it. In a day, there's near 1,000. You go on yourself and have a look. Now, it's marked up there. It can't mark up unless somebody goes on it. What they listen, how much they listen, I don't know, but there's people going on it. I was away in home of the day, took a man to home of the day, and he was telling me his parents were listening in on it. That's quite surprised. They don't agree with all what I preach about healing, but that's all right. Everybody doesn't have to agree with me, what I preach, but I'm not changing it. I'm not changing it. I'm going to preach it the way I preached it. Salvation to all and healing to all that believe it. And it's not up to me to heal them. I am not the healer. But I'm preaching the one that is the healer, Jesus Christ. And he's already done the job. It's like if I preach to 100 people that's not saved, they'll not all get saved. But that doesn't make Jesus not a saviour. Because they all don't get saved. One of them might get saved. So it's the exact same with the healing. You still have to preach it and believe it. And I've seen enough people healed to believe it. I have seen people healed. And I know the Lord is a healer. Praise God. And the Lord's healed me on several occasions. Brethren in this assembly's prayed for me in the past, and the Lord's healed me. You know, the time I ripped this left leg, I really tore it badly. I couldn't even hardly walk. And the brothers prayed for me. I shouldn't have done it. But I put £500 on my back in a squat bar and squatted it to prove God had healed me. Now, that's not wisdom. That was stupid, really. But just for me, I did it anyhow. But I know when God healed me. You know, when if God heals you, you're going to know it. You'll know when the Lord. Same with the Holy Ghost. When you get it, you'll know it. You'll not have to ask somebody, have you got it? Amen. But Joseph sends his greetings and pray for Joseph. Pray, and Andrew Beecham sends his greetings. And Andrew hopefully is going to come early next year. Hopefully. We don't know what's going to happen with all these things that's going on. Nolan does his best every day to scare the life out of everybody on his program. He's about the biggest hypocrite there ever has been in this country, is Nolan. And he's on every day. And if you did go on with anything to challenge him, he'd switch off because he'd done it with me one day. I went on tackling him one day about the homosexuals and he didn't let me talk too long. If you're not on the same page, they don't want to know about it. But the truth's the truth. Amen. So Andrew sends his greetings. They're doing well. Everyone's doing well. Pray for his wife, hurt her back. Pray for Andrew's wife. She done something on her back. And pray for Andrew and all. And he has been going preaching a bit, you know, in different places in England. But not as much with all what's happening. But praise God. You glad you come tonight? It's good to come, and it would be nice if it was Wednesday, but we can't get the hall. Let's turn to Psalms 1, verse 1 to 3. And I want to continue from last week. I know this is, I said last week, I don't want people to think I'm preaching what they call the prosperity gospel. But I want to bring out that God will bless you. And God's word shows you how to get the blessing. Let's start while we read verse 1 to 3 of Psalms chapter 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth its fruit in season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doth shall prosper. And that bit standeth not in the way of the scornful, or sitteth in the way of the sinner, sitteth in the seat of the scornful. He won't take advice. The believer should not take advice from the unsaved. How can you? A man that's not regenerated, that doesn't have the Spirit of God, could be giving you the wrong advice. Let's bow our heads this evening. And if you have a need, just lift your hand up before the Lord tonight. God bless, God bless, God bless. Praise God, God bless. Heavenly Father, we humbly bow before you. You're the one that we've come to lift up and magnify, the Lord Jesus Christ, the name that's set far above every other name. We've come to worship you tonight and praise you. And as we approach you this evening, we're asking, forgive us for every wrong thought, every wrong word, every wrong deed. Sanctify us and wash us afresh in the blood of the Lamb of God. Lord, we pray you'll fill us afresh, everyone, with the Holy Ghost on fire. Father, I ask you this evening for the Holy Spirit, and I take it by faith. I need it in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray for every hand that's raised in this room, and maybe someone that'll be listening in, that you will bless them and meet their need in the name of Jesus Christ. I come against the spirit of infirmity and the spirit of fear in the name of Jesus Christ. You've given us a spirit of liberty, not the spirit of fear, but liberty and power in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Lord, we worship you and praise you. Help us to bring the truth out, for you are that truth. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Let your light come into this room. Your word is a light, and a lamp on our feet, and a light on our path. Lighten our way tonight, in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, you promised there shall be light at the evening time, and the path of glory you shall surely find. Lord, we're looking to you in the midst of all what's happening in the world. Lord, it's hard to follow it all, but we're following you. You're the guide. You're the guide, Lord. You sent the Holy Ghost to guide the church. Guide us tonight. Bless what's already been prayed. Our brother Gary's prayed, and we say amen for Sister Lydia and Brother Ian and Colin and all the family, and Brother Ian, Philip as well, and all the ones that's been mentioned. And we do pray for Brother Joseph in Germany. Lord, help him, bless him, strengthen him, cover him with your blood, bless his wife, bless his children. Lord, when there seems to be no way, make a way, we pray, for we know you can furnish a table even in the wilderness. Father, undertake, we pray. Bless your brother Andrew Beecham as well for his precious wife. We ask you'll heal her back in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. We thank you even for the miracles we've heard about, testimonies even this week. We do give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless each one tonight. I want to thank everyone as well. Just maybe see the time praying for wee James. He's a lot better than he was. He's back giving plenty of cheek again. And he's doing all right. You don't have to learn them to get them cheek these days. It comes naturally, I think. You know, that's one of the signs. The Bible talks about a lawless age. Disobedient to parents. Unthankful. Unholy. Truce breakers. Amen. It's not the days we're living in. Now here's a wonderful scripture this evening, and there's a certain kind of people, and God says something about them. He says in Psalms here, whatsoever they do, I'm going to prosper it. And that kind of people, there's three things about them in this scripture I want to look at as we look at this evening. And I don't want to get preaching, I just want to talk for a little bit tonight, and then we're going to pray. Not to walk in the counsel of the ungodly, that's a warning from God. So when people give us counsel that are ungodly, and especially if it's against this word of God, we're not to hear till it. We want counsel, but we want counsel from somebody that's godly, from somebody that's led of God, of the Spirit of God. It's the same as well. I would never want to come and tell you what I think on something if it's my imagination. But if God shows something, that's a different thing. And God can do that. And, you know, through prophets and the Bible, God has shown many things down through different generations. So we're not to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. And of all these ideas about this and that and different things, but if they're contrary to the Word of God, it doesn't matter. The other thing is not to stand in the way of the sinner, and that means doing what they say. Standing in the way of the sinner means don't do what they say. So if the sinner's telling you to do something, the Word of God's saying, don't do it. He's saying the opposite. You know, and people that's not saved say a lot of things. Go and enjoy yourself. If you're young, they'll more or less tell you to go and live in sin. That's what they'll say. But somebody that's godly wouldn't say that. They would never tell you that. That would be against the Word of God. They would tell you to live holy, keep the commandments of the Lord. That's what the book of Psalms tells us here. Then here's another thing, not to sit in the seat of the scornful. And there's a lot of scornful people in power of the day, and they're scornful. And I tell you, they're trying to rule, but they're not really fit to rule. Somebody asked me if a certain man in authority over in England, you know who I'm talking about, if I do that with a fancy hairdo, you know what I'm talking about. And they said to me, what do you think of him? I says, we don't tell you, dear, as soon as I seen the hairdo, that done it. Now, I don't have any hair, I'm not mocking her, but if I had hair, I'd have it a certain shape. I'd try and keep it, you know, some road, but did you ever see his hair? I don't know what shape it is. Just like, you know, out of the hedge. You ever hear the saying, you think he come through the hedge on a bike, backwards, out through the hedge. And there's something not right there. And I'm serious about this. I believe there's something not right there. That tells me everything about that man. You know, a prophet of God said that. He said, you know, if you want to know what a man's like, look at some of the things around him. And that tells you. And that's what's leading in world government today. And mixed decisions behind people's backs. Then brings them out and they don't work and they won't work. And then you're left with it. And I don't want to really get into the politicians, but it's true, isn't it? Look at verse 2 of Psalms. Psalms. And Psalms is wonderful scriptures, you know, Psalms. Verse 2, what it says. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the law doth he meditate day and night. God wants us to meditate in his word day and night. And I do a wee daily thing each day, and maybe it's a bit traditional in the sense you're doing it every day, but you wouldn't. There's an awful people read it, and I put it up on my app thing every single day, and maybe about 100, 90 to 100 read that every day. And if that one scripture that reaches some one person, it's all worth it. And it's good to have a little habit of having a reading every day, even if it's just a verse, first thing in the morning, or a chapter, whatever it is, it's good to have that as a wee routine that you do. Because the Bible says you're to meditate in the Word of God day and night. It also says, think upon whatsoever things are lovely and pure. Now look at this, he must delight in the law of the Lord, and he must meditate in it day and night. That's the things in Psalms 1, verse 2. Then what two ways does God say that Israel had been robbing him? And God said Israel robbing him. And I'm trying to show examples where people rob God, where God told them how to get out of it. And that's the word of God. Malachi 3 verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me, but you say wherein have we robbed thee in tithes and offerings? And God told Israel that robbed them in their tithes and that robbed them in their offerings. And you could look at this not just from a financial standpoint, and it is financial in the sense we believe in that, but I'm talking about time as well. What time do we give God? And I know I've said it before that, you know, if you belong to a gym or any sort of a club, and you would have to give time to that, and you'd think nothing of giving the time to it. But sometimes people that claim to be serving God don't tithe their time to God. Out of a week, what time do we give to God? And if you think, if you work 40 hours a week, what time? I know a lot of people do give time to God. But I'm just trying to show it from the Word of God. It's tithing, yes, it's offering and financial, but I believe also in our time. God wants our time. You know, I believe some of the night. I believe whatever time we do spend before the Lord, it's not wasted. I never regret the times I've spent with the Lord. And that's over a lifetime. I'm 53 coming in a few days. And from a young man, from 1989, that's quite a few years now, I've served the Lord. If I was to count anything how long it is and to make out I'm a great fella, because I'm not. But I'm just saying I don't regret it. And even before I was married, and Friday nights, Saturday nights, I used to go in my room upstairs. I didn't chum about with nobody. I broke from everything, and I served the Lord. If I wasn't out at a meeting or giving tracks out, I was up in the room. That's the way it was. And I'd done that for a long time, and I don't regret it. The Lord blessed me in them times. He showed me things. He done things for me. There's no time spent with God that's wasted, but you can waste your time with things of the world. There's things in the world that can waste your time. And our brother John often prays it, and it's true. Lord, we don't want to waste our time with things. Our time has to count. We don't know how long we have left as human beings here. If the Lord doesn't come, we don't know how long we have. Now, you know, when I look back when I first went on the missionary trip, 1991 was my first missionary trip. I was away from home for 6 months. That's how long I was away for on my first trip, and that's like yesterday. But that's 30 years ago now. But it's like yesterday. 30 years ago, and it's like yesterday. And all them trips I took, I don't regret none of them. Not a one of them. I would do it again. Because it was time with the Lord. And especially when you see people getting saved and touched with the power of God. It's wonderful. God wants our time. And here Israel robbed God. And look what God says also in Malachi 3 verse 9. What happened to Israel as a result of robbing God? He cursed them. That's what the word of God says here in verse 9. Ye are cursed for the curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. The whole nation was cursed with a curse. And they robbed God. And you know, in a way, our nation has robbed God of giving him his place. Understand me tonight. Don't think of the financial for a moment, but think of our nation is putting God out. God's been squashed out of every nation. They're robbing God. And when you rob God, you get the curse. This is why the problems is coming. And they're going to come. And as they squeeze God out, now the persecution's coming for the Christians. My dad said it. There was many of them in a prophecy in one of our meetings about it. And many of them, Brother John or my dad, and that's years ago. But there was a prophecy, and it talked about a hard time coming. There's persecution coming for the real believers. And maybe there has been a bit already, but there's more coming. And some of them's maybe even in it now. We know that. Some people are being persecuted. Like if you've lost your job, that's persecution. And I'll tell you, it's coming down the road. And all the things as well. You know, look at the past laws that's against the word of God. So they push God out, so the God has to curse them. He has to. That's the word of God. Now, I know we're living in the day of grace, but I'll tell you, they're still the laws of God. And we know Christ fulfilled them and all that, but we still try and live to the Lord. We believe the word of God. You know what I mean? The Old Testament's there to magnify the new. Amen. And the new magnifies the old. It's linked. It's all the word of God. What happened to Israel? Look what it says. God cursed them. They robbed them. And look at verse 10. How did God tell Israel to prove him? Put him to the test. God tells him, put me to the test in verse 10 of Malachi. Bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse. If England and Ireland would take a stand for God, what would God do with it? But they'll not. They won't do it. They passed all the ungodly laws, and the trouble's coming. It's going to come. It's going to heap up. I'm telling you that tonight. It's going to heap up. And all these laws, and I'll tell you another thing, and I don't really want to get into politics, but they talked about leaving the EU. But the EU still a lasso on them. And they're not letting go of it. They still are controlling things, and it's all that's here. Money. Money makes the world go round. It's all money. And you know when it's going to come right down to the man of sin. And his number 666. And there's a system, and there's a movement, and it's going to control the whole thing, and it's going to all link the government, and all's going to come with the beast all together, and we know where that beast's coming out of, and we know the Antichrist. Let me say in this church, we know the Antichrist. We're not looking for him, and he's not a Jew. He's a Pope of Rome. And I can't say it no more clear, and I don't care who's listening. He's a Pope, Johnny Red Sox. That's his nickname. And he's the Pope of Rome. And you know why he's Antichrist? Because he says, don't come to Jesus, come to me. That makes him Antichrist. He's denied the Word and claims to be the Word. So he's Antichrist. Anti-Word is Antichrist. And he has daughters. There's a system, and it is daughters tonight. And they've took the doctrine of their mother. The doctrine of their mother. And I said to a man today, and let me just share this with you. You know, we're talking about the Godhead. And I said, if you have three persons in the Godhead, and I believe three in the sense, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three offices of one God, but not three persons. Three persons is wrong. Do you know why three persons is wrong? If you have the person of God, the person of the Holy Spirit, and the person of the Lord Jesus, well then who is the Father of the Lord Jesus? If God is a separate person from the Holy Spirit, and the Bible says in one place that God is the Father of Jesus, then another scripture says the Holy Spirit overshadowed the Virgin Mary and she conceived. And if you make God one person and the Holy Spirit another person, that's two different people, so Jesus would have had two fathers, but he didn't have. Because the Holy Spirit and God's the same one. They're the exact same one. It's one God. Now we know he had a son. God can't die. Christ died. So if you go lick your finger, that's wrong as well. He had a son, and he dwelt in that son. But God didn't die on the cross. Christ did. And God raised him from the dead. Amen. And we know he was in the bosom of the Father from the foundation of the world. We know all things are made by him and for him. And without him, wasn't that anything was made. He pre-existed ever before he was here as a man. We know that. But that man died as a man died. The Bible says it. But God raised him from the dead. So you see, thank God for the Word of God. Jesus is one Father. That's God. And the Holy Spirit is God. And you know a person as well is restricted. If I locked you in this room and told you to get out, you'd have to break a window or something. But the Holy Ghost can come in here with all them doors and windows closed. He's a ghost. He can come in. Not only can he come in this room, but he's here tonight. He's in Africa. He's in Australia. He's in New Zealand. Anywhere where my people's gathered, he says, I'm in the midst. The Holy Spirit. Person can't do that. The Holy Spirit can. We're limited in these bodies, but the Holy Ghost's not. Amen. Now you know when Jesus was glorified, he came through the wall. You know that. You know he did that. He came into them with the doors closed. That's the Lord. And you know you're going to get a body change. You are, I am. And there's lots of things in there. I don't want to go into it tonight, but you know there's going to be some things you can do then that you can't do now. We know that. It's going to be wonderful. But when you're saved, this is a hope we have. We shouldn't be defeated tonight. We're not defeated. We've got life now. And there's victory ahead the whole road. No matter what comes, God's in control. God told them, prove me. Malachi 3 verse 10, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there's not room enough to receive it. You know, when William Branham was really functioning under the ministry he had, he said, what if America tonight would catch on what God's doing and sent them? He said there'd be a revival, shake the world, but they didn't do it. They didn't catch on. And they're still not catching on. And I'm not saying about William Branham, but I'm talking about nations. They're denying God. God's been put out of everything. And a lot of schools now don't even want God either. Thank the Lord, there is schools that still do. You know, my wee boys go to school, they still prayer and all them things, it's wonderful. And they still have that. There's good people in there still. We thank the Lord for that. But there's other schools don't have that no more. And, you know, I'm not here to talk against integrated schools, but some of them integrated schools have to take God out to suit everybody. You take God out, what do you put in place of God? False God. You put a false God in. And then that false God becomes a man. That's anti-God, anti-Christ. That's the truth. And you see the enemy comes into everything. That's his job. But aren't you glad we've light tonight? God's word gives us the light. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. Prove God. Amen. Give so God your time. The Bible talks about seeking in the secret place. Seeking God in the secret place. Praying secretly. And He'll reward you openly. Giving Him, tithing in your time. See Him financially. If you want God to bless you, pay your tithes, pay your offering. God says, I'll bless you. This is the word of God. God's word can't fail. He won't fail you. How can He fail you? He can't fail. What did God promise Israel He would do for them? Open the windows of heaven and pour them out such a blessing that they would not even be room enough to contain it. Now I'm going to tell you the testimony, and I might have told you this before, but it's a long time ago. You know, when I went to Africa one of the times and I saw what the pastor had to drive in, I couldn't believe it. It's no better than a go-kart. The children had no shoes on their feet. It was Christmas time. I came home and I cried. And we had bags of stuff. I was at my father-in-law's house. There was bags of stuff. And the Lord bless them. There's nothing wrong with that. But you have to understand what I'd come from, what I saw. Poverty. Children with no shoes. Maybe women, one dress is all they had. And they come to church immaculate every service. And they'd maybe only one dress. And the pastor was driving, you know, it was a lump of scrap. But he was driving, and there was a brother trying to fix it. And he was working on sandpaper and parts of it. He couldn't get the right parts. And I had a Mercedes car, and I come home and I sold it. And I owned it. Now, it wasn't a new Mercedes, but I think it was about $4,000 or $5,000 I got for it. Whatever it was I got for it. I am going back a few years now. And you know what? I paid off what I owed on it. I didn't owe much on it. I owned the most of it. And I sent the rest to this man in Africa. And the next morning, and I didn't tell the person that rang me either, I want you to know that. The next morning I got a phone call from a man in another country. And I had to take a car out in finance because I had sold the car I owned. I took another car out in finance. I owed near £6,000. A man rang me the next morning. And he says to me, you paying the car off? Yes. Much do you owe on it? Tell him. He said, the money will be in your bank in 24 hours to clear it. And then here's what he said. And to get you out of the red too, I'll sign you the extra. Now, I never told him about the red, but I was in the red. You said, Tom, you give a car away, you give the money away. You get into debt. I knew I could pay it like I was working. That man didn't have that privilege to do what I was doing. So I didn't really mind. But that man the next morning put enough on my account. I paid the car and it brought me out of the red. And I ended up with no debt for that car. He paid it all. You can't outgive God. You can't outgive God. People talk about paying a tithe. There's people who pay a lot more than a tithe. Tithe's nothing. Every Christian should pay a tithe. Every Christian should give an offering. There's men of God that God has spoke to. Even ordinary Christian men and women, and they give to God thousands secretly, and it's never been known about. And I've told you before, and maybe some in this church done it, I don't even know to this day where it come from. But you know, I've told it on many occasions where there was money in my hallway and it said Africa. Africa on it. And every time, I'll tell you this here, every time I went to Africa, there was a lot of people saved. One of the last trips I went, there was 700, and it was almost 800 decisions of salvation and 14 services when I went to Africa. And that time, you know, one of them times I went, they had a tent. They were doing a tent mission, like a mission. No way, like they have missions here. Well, these fellas had a tent up, and it was nothing special. And 14 people got saved that night. In a tent meeting in Africa. I preached several tent missions in Africa. And this church bought a tent. This actual church bought a tent for a church in Africa. And that tent went everywhere. And that tent became too small and it held quite a lot of people. And there's a fellow messaged me the other week. I showed Brother Mark and some of the brothers. And he said, there's still a move of God going. But started with that tent. And started back in them meetings. It's still tonight. And you know the old woman was delivered. They'd come in the meeting. She had the powerful demon. And God delivered her. And them boys went up there as well with a tent. There's a church the other day. From one woman. You say, why is it not happening here? Well, the Bible says a prophet's no honor in his own country. Some people wouldn't come around the corner here to hear you. It's not about the preaching. You have danced on here the night that come. I'm telling you. That's the truth. You see, you know, did you ever read the statistics of people that follow Jesus for the lows and the facious? Mark Sorella preached some sermon on it one time. He said, why did they follow him? For the loaves and the fishes. Once he started giving them a bit of the word, the crowd dwindled. I seen a fellow the other day, statistics up. I didn't read them all, but it's quite something. The many that went from the hundreds down to just a few. Didn't Jesus say to the disciples, will you go away also? And they said, where will we go, Lord? You have the words of eternal life. Amen. Now God can do it here. This country's away from God. There's laws in Africa that they wouldn't have that we have here. Homosexuals, one of them. There's, over there, it's really shunned on. They don't have it as free as the way we have it here. They're still against it in a lot of them countries. And God moves, you know. Look at Matthew 6, 33, and two things Christ tells all Christians to seek before everything else. In Matthew 6, 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. So he wants us to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything we need is going to be added on. God will bless you. And if you need a financial blessing, whether it's paying off a vehicle, God can do it, you know. I can tell you now, God can do it. God can give you a car. Man said to me one night, he said to me, he was joking about, you know, he said, do you think God could give you a car? And I said, sure he could. Give you three or four of them, you needed them. You might need three or four cars. God could do it. You wouldn't have much faith if you said, I don't think God could give me a car. Certainly God could give you a house, a car, anything at all. Give you a church. Give you a building and all. God was able to do it. Amen. But seek first the kingdom. You know, Reinhard Bonnke said he was walking down the street and he could ask God whatever he wanted, really. But he asked for souls. And God gave them to him. Now, I mean it in the sense he let them see them saved. Obviously, it was God. It wasn't Reinhard Bonnke saved them, but he used them to get them. And I think it's wonderful, isn't it? Look at the results. Jesus promised to them that follow him. All things you need, material, whatever it is, God can give you it. All the things you need, God can give you it. Amen. Now look at Luke 6:38. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom, for the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured unto you. I know man, he's a minister and he's a millionaire. He's in Africa. This man's definitely a millionaire. He won the farmer of the year, I don't know many times, growing corn. He grew the best corn. He grew it in the country, but they said it couldn't be grown. He grew it. And he won the farmer of the year. I'll tell you better than that. Not only did he win the farmer of the year, he won a harvester. And the harvester was massive. Now, I don't know a lot about, John would know more about these things than me, but this harvester was that big. They give it to a man in government over this pastor because they give the pastor the smaller one. And when they brought the smaller one to the pastor, no, he told them, that's not for me. God told me I'm getting the bigger. This is what he told them. And they laughed at him. They took the big one to one of the top men in the government. And they couldn't get it to his house. And they told him about it. And they brought him to see it. And he says, I don't want that thing. Go and get me a smaller one. Get rid of that. And they had to go to the other man. And the man in government got the smaller one. That's how he got the big one. God give him it. And I heard people ridiculing this man. I heard them ridiculing him. And they gave him some toasting. That he was a millionaire and he had a big church and a big house. And people were this and people were that. But they didn't know nothing about it. That man supported widows. I knew about it because I knew a man that had died. His wife was a widow. And I knew that man gave her a lot of money. He supported a list of widows. Two men came into his yard one day. There's three men, three pastors. They had hired a vehicle to do a mission. They came into his yard. And this vehicle And he said to them, that's what yous need, boys. And he says, brother, we couldn't afford that. He says, is that right? How much is it? And they tell him the price. It was a lot of money. And he bought it for them on the spot. He bought it for them straight away. And he bought two vehicles that day for men of God, so that they could do the work of God. And that night he was going home, and he walked out across the churchyard, and his church housed thousands. He walked out across the churchyard, and the man says, Pastor, don't be going. I need to see you. And that man gave him a check for 10 times the amount that he gave away that day, and that is a fact. 10 times the amount. And people were saying, he's a big house and all. Of course he had a big house, they judged him. But of course you have a nice car, a big house, doesn't mean that you're not God's servant. What would you do with Solomon? Solomon was a rich man, I can tell you. What about Job? Job was rich. God blessed Job. There's men in the Bible that God blessed. It didn't mean that God wasn't with them. God was with them. There's real prosperity that God can give. Amen. And I honestly believe, I know sometimes you can have a mindset, maybe you shouldn't have this or that. If God blesses you to have it, he wants you to have it. Amen. The enemy can sometimes tell you that. But God maybe wants you to have the blessing. You know, there's a brother was telling me, he says he went somewhere to preach, and the wee man went to give him a gift, and he kept telling him he didn't want it. And there's another man took him aside, and he says, don't you ever do that again. If that man's giving you a gift, you take it, because God will bless the man that's giving you the gift. Amen. And it's true. When you give, the Lord loves a cheerful giver. Praise God. He'll tell you, he's preached us all made of it money. Praise God. Look at this here. In 1 Corinthians 16:2. What standard did Paul teach Christians to measure how much he would set aside for God? Look at this in 1 Corinthians 16:2. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him. That there be no gathering when I come. Give to the Lord. Amen. I tell you, some of the brothers quoted about, don't muzzle the ox that treads out the corn. You imagine if you had an ox treading the corn out and you starved him for a week, he wouldn't be treading it out the following week. He'd be dead. You wouldn't have him. Amen. Is it true? And you give to God as God's given to you. And God will bless you. Amen. As God has prospered him. Look at 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9. For what purpose did Christ become poor? Christ become poor so that we could be rich. Now I believe that means more than just in the financial, that's spiritually. We know that. He became poor that we could be rich. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. We're rich. So if somebody says to you, you're rich or poor, you should be fit to say I'm rich. No matter if you're riding on a pushback. If you've got Christ in your soul, you are rich. That's the Bible says you are. Your father owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. God can bless you. You know, I haven't got time tonight. I'm going to close because our time's going. But you know the story of Jacob better than me. I know Samuel at the Jacob sheep. I know a man round the road at the Jacob sheep. Boy, he had a real great Jacob tip, that man I knew round the road. I'd never seen anything like it. He had 4 big massive horns on him. And boy, he was looked brilliant. But you know the story with Jacob, where he put the thing at the edge of the water, and when the sheep went past it, the ring stripes was what they called them. It's all about, and his sheep done that well. The father-in-law chased him. He thought he was hooking him. But it was God blessing him. And his sheep kept doing better, and them sheep, them what they call the Jacob sheep, was outnumbering the other sheep. He had the thing down at the water with the marks on it, and when they passed it, and they got the lambs came, the Jacob lambs. I haven't got time tonight, but I'm sure most people know the story of it. It'd be a good wee sermon sometime. Let's come and pray tonight and believe God. And you know, many times the enemy wants to tell us in our minds we're poor, we're defeated, but we need to show him the word's your defense. Show him from the word you're rich. because he became poor. Christ became poor that we would come rich. And the Lord wants to bless you. And every time you sow into the Lord's work, whether it's an offering or a tithe or time, God will bless you. God will bless you. And you see at the time it's least expected, in the middle of a pandemic, whatever they want to call it, God can bless you. God can bless you. God can promote you. Now that's the truth. When people, I'm going to pray Joseph gets a promotion. That fella has come on with that in Germany. They put him down, but I'm going to pray God lifts him back up. You know, Schombach, there's a man come to Schombach and he says, will you pray for me for a job? So Schombach laid his hand on him and he said, Lord, give him a shoe shining job. You know, in America, in some countries, it's shine the shoes. And the fella says, oh no, I don't want a job like that. And he says, what job do you want? And he tells him. And Schombach says, you be specific, tell God what you want. And Schombach prayed again and he said, you see that fella's letter that he's put in? Take it to the bottom and put it on the top. He come back after a month and he showed Schombach his first month's wages. And Schombach said, you can get me a job down there. Over $400. And that, I go back years and years ago. A long time ago. God promoted him. God can promote you. In a season that they say you can't be promoted, God will do it. That's the way God works. He'll give you work. No matter about a passport, you have a passport. The blood's your passport. You have it. The blood's applied. Passport's on you. You're marked. There you are now. You're marked. By the blood of Christ. Let's bow our heads. Seek the Lord tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the mark of your precious blood. Lord, you promised us when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Lord, we know that you became poor that we might become rich. So we are allowed to say, it's scriptural for us to say we are rich tonight because you became poor. We thank you that you have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We thank you that you've set our feet in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We thank you it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me, the hope of glory. Lord, I pray this evening you'll bless your people. In the midst of all that's happening, bless my brother. Bless my sister. Give them the right work, the right prosperity. As they sow to you, you promised you will bless them. Help us to meditate upon your word day and night. Rid us of our own ideas of the fear of man and give us godly fear. Lord, I pray for Brother Joseph in Germany again. Lord, I pray you'll promote him. Give him a promotion. Encourage him tonight. Speak into his innermost being. Let a strength come in him. Let a strength of God come upon him. May the Holy Spirit visit him. May he be renewed, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ tonight. Lord, I ask you'll promote him. That he won't lose the job, but he'll get promoted in the job. Lord, you're able to do it. You promoted Joseph. And I'll tell you, Lord, you really promoted him. And he filled all them barns during a 7-year famine. And there was food nowhere. Only what Joseph was able to give out. Because you blessed him. You prospered him. You prospered Job. He lost everything. But he held his integrity. He confessed you. And he said, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And you blessed him. You doubled everything he had. The oxen, the asses, the camels, the family. Everything, you blessed him, Lord. And the end of Job was greater than his beginning. Lord, we know you're able to do it tonight. Bless my brothers, my sisters, and under this roof. Save our children. Move upon them in this godless civilization, in a society that's made rules that break every scripture. Help us, O God, in our homes and move in all of our children. Save every son, save every daughter, save every grandson, every granddaughter, every wife, every husband, every niece, every nephew. O Lord, I pray you'll save them and cover them with your blood in the mighty us. We say, devils, get back in Jesus Christ's name. We thank you, Lord, where your spirit is, there's liberty. Lord, I pray for wee Laurie for this Sunday morning that you bless him and anoint him with the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. Let him be the Spirit of God come on him and use him for your glory in Jesus' precious name. Now, Lord, bless every brother and every sister that's under this roof tonight. And Father, we commit it all to thee. We acknowledge you in all our ways, knowing you will direct our paths in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Let us just continue to seek the Lord tonight.